chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mardawok, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20 and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken Petaluma, never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here in Sonoma County, the North Bay, and beyond. Yes, it's Michelle and Jordan live in the studio. We've got just two more. We've got tonight and then next Sunday will be the last two shows of 2016, if you can believe that. It has just flown by. Next week we have Court Sins. He's been a writer and a painter, and he's just come out with this lovely little book on Meyer lemons, full of illustrations as well as narrative. He's done it all, and he'll be driving over from Napa. And we have really interesting guests and people that I met last week at lunch. And I have to thank Julie and Ed Pedroncelli so much for introducing me to Amanda Dunker. Got it right. And Jeremy Nusser of Avalo. But before I tell you what Avalo is and get them talking to us about it, we got to do a little bit of business. It's that time of year. And really, in all honesty, Mouthful's been a little bit slack during our last number of membership drives. I still work really, really hard at it. And we'd raise really a pretty good amount of money. And then partly for some technical reasons and not having enough volunteers and staff, sort of backed off a little bit in how much time I've been spending on it. And sort of going on trust and faith that you listen to Mouthful, you listen to KRCB, and at some point you're going to give a call, whether it's during Mouthful, whether you go online and do it, or some other time, because I definitely, when I'm out in the community, meet a lot of people who listen to the show, both live when it's broadcasting, but also as a podcast. You can revisit it at any time at all, and now we're asking you to help continue to make it possible. Believe it or not, Mouthful has been on the air for 21 years. 21 years of my life, and it's an all-volunteer effort. The only money involved is what we can get you to donate every now and then. And we have some special deals tonight, and the one that I am going to concentrate on. Do you need a gift? Do you have a tomato lover on your Christmas list, your Hanukkah list, your 12th night list, whatever it is? Maybe there's even some birthdays coming up, you know. Remember those people with December birthdays? They always get short shrift. Anyway, my book, The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes, came out in 2015 along with five other books. And I have quite a number of copies of that book. And one can be yours for just... Anthony, do you have the piece of paper over there? Can they have a book for $20 or $25? Here we go. Well, we're just going to say for $25, you can have a copy, an autographed copy of The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes. The number you can call, and you should call now because we only have Kirby for a little while, is 707-584-2020. There's lots of membership levels that are... If you've listened at all, you know that we have all kinds of CDs. One that's really fun is, see if I can find it here, Rest in Peace. You get five CDs for a $30 donation. And there's some really good stuff. Amy Winehouse, Leonard Cohen, Leon Russell, Dusty Springfield, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Five CDs for $30. It goes to the $30 all goes to the radio station. You get to sit back and listen to a year of great radio, and you get these five CDs, you know? That's pretty cool. The number is 584-2020. But for just $25 to KRCB, you get a signed copy of The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes. Go to the store and buy it. It'll cost you $21. So it's really quite a deal. I will sign it. I will personalize it. But you have to come by the radio station to pick it up. It costs a lot to mail a book. I was really shocked. I had to mail a copy of The Good Cook's Book of Salt and Pepper to somebody who bought it after I had sold out. It was almost $8 to mail a book at media rate. And I remember reading, God, you used to be able to mail like four books for $3 or something at a media rate. So you have to come by the station in Burnett Park. It's very easy to get here. So if you want a copy of The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes, and actually I'll even make an extra special offer now. If you would prefer a copy of More Than Meatballs, that came out in... December of 2014, I took it on myself to feminize the topic. Every cookbook on meatballs, well, first of all, the meatballs were about the size of at least a tennis ball. They were somewhere between a tennis ball and a hard ball, a baseball. And they were always kind of dry. And the thing that made them moist was the sauce. And it was usually a gloppy sauce. And I like smaller meatballs, and I like them to be juicy without a lot of gloppy sauce. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do a book on meatballs, make my contribution to the canon of the meatball. And there are definitely traditional meatballs in the book, but I researched really all over the world. Pretty much every culture in the world has some sort of little round thing, chopped meat, pureed vegetables, grated vegetables. So there's, I think, 75 recipes in the book, and that is also yours at $25 when you call 707-584-2020. $25 is all it takes. We're going to move on now, and you know, we're almost going to move on. If you can call in the next 10 minutes, I give you a great big kiss, because we only have someone answering phones for the next 10 minutes. So for the last half of the show, or the last two-thirds of the show, I have to twist myself into a pretzel to both be the host and answer the phone. So if you could call now, Kirby will take your pledge, and be sure to indicate which book it is that you would like. 707-584-2020. You can also go online and click donate, and there's always a place where you can, for notes, where you can say you're calling in support of Mouthful, you want The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes, you want More Than Meatballs. So give it a try, okay? And now let's introduce our guests a second time. Jeremy and Amanda, you guys have thought of something, a way to garden, that is really interesting.
Well, thank you.
I really love it. As somebody who loves having a garden and doesn't really garden a whole lot, because I'm always working, Avalo offers a really interesting option. It's you install a garden and you maintain it.
Indeed we do.
Yeah. And you started this, if I remember correctly, you started this in San Francisco?
We started actually here in Sonoma County.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
But we were living in San Francisco.
Oh, I see. Okay,
and
gotcha.
Then had moved up. Yeah, but no, the inspiration was definitely, you know, being in Sonoma County and seeing everything that grows and your access to the produce and the farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many different things that we wanted more. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we got the idea from Avalo.
Well, first of all, tell us about the name. I've been looking at Avalo and thinking, I have no idea where that name came from.
Well, the funniest version of the story is definitely that it's the lowest avocado on a tree, and that's not
Seriously?
True in the slightest.
Okay.
No, absolutely
okay.
No. It's the best non-true story. The truth is we started looking for names, and we wanted something that sounded really kind of uplifting and positive, and we started with the root of avocado. And so we played around with different combinations of avocado, and we found Avalo, and we checked it with our friends. We're like, are we crazy? No. And we asked a few friends, and they all loved it. And here we have it.
Because every time I hear it or think of it, I think of Avalon.
Okay.
And the next thing you know, Roxy Music's Avalon is playing in my head. So, you know, and that's not a bad connection. Tell us exactly what it is.
Sure. So our service is a monthly subscription. So we're, I guess, redefining the farm box, per se. So we will, to your point, we install it. First, we deliver it, then we install it.
So you bring a raised bed.
We do. We bring a raised bed to your yard, front yard, backyard, side yard, you name it. And we look for, of course, the best sunlight. And we'll
place the bed and fill it up with all the best dirt and nutrients we can find in all the plants that we've discussed with our clients in advance to get really a custom, you know, culinary garden for them. And then we maintain it. So during the summertime, that's typically about 3 times a week. And then now that the weather has changed dramatically, mm-hmm. it's about twice a week.
Mm-hmm. What dimensions, what size are the beds?
The beds, they range a bit depending on, so we have a couple aesthetic options mm-hmm. because everyone, it needs to look great in your yard.
Sure.
And so we have a couple different options to match your taste. But 4x6 is kind of our standard, so mm-hmm. 4 feet by 6 feet. And one thing that I think sets our beds apart is it's not just a standard bed. We actually have the watering system built in.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a reservoir in the bottom of each bed, which allows us to do some really, really interesting things with the plants. They grow better, grow faster. And as well, it's the most drought tolerant, drought friendly way mm-hmm. to grow vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another little fun fact.
And how do you decide what you're going to plant?
So we are firm believers, of course, in going seasonal.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So we believe in year-round gardening. So it's not just limited to, you know, tomatoes in the summertime. So when it comes to what we're growing, we look at what season is it that we're initially starting that garden and going forward. And then also we have a conversation with each and every client to personalize it, because it's not just us saying, hey, you're going to eat this thing.
Right.
It's really, you know, what do you want to cook? You know, what do you enjoy eating?
You're not going to force somebody to plant eggplant.
Absolutely. Not. Yep, exactly. So we really, it's a larger conversation about, you know, what's a balanced diet? What do people enjoy eating? You know, what are they going to want to share with their friends and their families and their neighbors? And then we go from there.
Mm-hmm. And so you say, let's say you start in the spring. Give us a picture of a spring box.
Absolutely. So We're actually working. We have one of our advisors really helped us shape, I think, a lot of different thoughts on tomatoes. You know, you mentioned your book on tomatoes, mm-hmm. and I think that's inspiration for a lot of people. So if you're looking at spring, you're a little bit before that. So you're looking at something that's usually peas or beans or something mm-hmm. that you can grow up. But you're kind of getting also a second tasting of the fall. So really, like, Brassica family is, mm-hmm. is really the family that's in effect from November through February.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at spring as a way to, let's say you were growing in the fall, you decided to grow, you know, your Brussels sprouts, and you had, you know, a beautiful dino kale, and you had red Savoy cabbage. The spring is a chance to kind of do the brassicas in a slightly different way,
mm-hmm.
because the great thing is there's so many varietals in the family that you can take the same basic plan that you had and you can swap out a completely different varietal. Like you can do Romanesco broccoli instead of the kind of traditional broccoli. You can do like a Napa cabbage instead of a more traditional Ace cabbage. You have a lot of different chances to taste a broader spectrum of the family. So I think in general, the 4x6 bed, we look at it and say, how do we get as much into this as possible that's customized to your taste, but also is, to Amanda's point, it's very much going to be the freshest, most direct thing that you can get for that season.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and one thing also I think that kind of sets it apart is that when we're looking at what we're putting in the garden, we're not just saying, hey, this is in season and this is tasty. We're also looking at the nutritional value. So when we make suggestions, we're trying to suggest not only what's delicious, but also what's going to be the best for you. So let's say, with the lettuce family, or even to Jeremy's point, the brassicas, it's, what varietal or varietals, plural, will give you the most bang for your buck when it comes to the nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever plant things, perennials that go in, and even trees? I mean, might you put a dwarf Meyer lemon in, for example?
You could, but I think what we like to do is maximize value.
Okay.
And for something like the dwarf trees, they do really, really well in like a wine barrel or something.
Okay, so
like
you want those should be separate.
Those should be separate because they take away a lot of space.
Uh-huh.
And they're produce and they have their seasonality and they're amazing. But also, you don't necessarily want to share the sunlight, and because they do a lot of shading. They're very big, so it actually takes away more than just their footprint. So we'd recommend definitely putting those into a separate planter. And we help our clients customize. One of the things we found is people are really inspired by gardens. Like, you kind of mentioned, it's like it's just a magical thing to have a garden. And so starting when we install raised beds for our clients, we find that they really get excited about their yard again, and especially growing things in their yard. So a lot of times we have a lot of good partners and different either landscape architects or just different vendors that we use that we definitely try to make sure that there's good connections and people are able to build out the yard that the vision that they had that they maybe weren't able to realize until they got the kind of second wave of inspiration from their garden.
Cool. We're going to take a little musical break here, and I'm going to come back and beg for you to call a little bit, and then there'll be more conversation with our friends from Avalo.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
open and you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
I. My mother will start to worry.
Oh, beautiful, won't you hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Oh, listen to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Baby, please don't hurry.
But maybe just a half a drink
more. Put some records on while I
pour. The neighbors might faint.
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cab to be had out there.
I wish I knew how
like starlight
to break
now
the spell.
I'll take your hand, your hair looks
I
well.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
if
sir.
I move in closer.
At least I'm gonna say that
oh,
I tried.
Oh, what, this ain't hurting my pride.
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Your welcome has been
lucky that you
so
dropped in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves upon a tropical
my
shore.
My knickknacked mind is
gosh,
vicious.
Your lips look delicious.
But maybe just a cigarette
and
more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get
but
home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I grand. I will when you touch my
but
hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's to be talk tomorrow.
Hoping for my lifelong
at
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
Yeah. Yeah.
there was Maurice, Tanny, and I forget the name of the woman singing with him. I forget, Maurice is an old friend, and this is a holiday CD Doug Jane put together, and that's also available. So, you know, it's the deal. Gotta raise money, and you have to raise money on a radio station, a public radio station, to do things like pay the PG&E bill. We all know about that, and just like everyone else, PG&E costs have soared. I can't even imagine what it is at the radio station here. Mine went, like, in the dead of winter when it's, you know, 9 degrees out and, you know, dark most of the time. The highest my PG&E bill had ever been was $68 a month. I heat with wood. And my PG&E bill now is nearly $250 a month. And it just has to do with PG&E itself and the way yeah. that they have changed, you know, baseline usage and all that. So, you know, got to raise money for electricity, got to raise money to replace equipment, all that, you know, property taxes, all that kind of stuff. So that's why we ask you to call 707-584-2020. Need a Christmas present? If you buy one of my books, you're going to go out and it's going to be $21. But if you give $25 to the station, you get an autographed copy of The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes or More Than Meatballs. There's lots of pledge levels. You can get the Holiday Connections, a CD. You have to pick it up at the station for a pledge level of just $20. You can get packages of CDs, $30, and you get 5 CDs, and there's lots of categories. You can sign up online as well as calling 707-584-2020. It's the last plea of 2016. Fill our coffers so we make it through the dark winter. And speaking of filling coffers, we are going to go back. I'm going to trust my listeners. You like Mouthful enough. You've been listening for a long time that you will pony up a little bit of cash. I'm going to go back to Avalo. It really is a great name. It's a great name. Your weekly service, it includes watering, weeding, soil amendments, pest control, training on trellises, seasonal crop rotation, continual sowing, pruning, and cleanup.
Absolutely.
So you just keep things going. When one crop is done, when some of the spring crops are winding down, you'll add the summer crops.
Yeah, and we even try our goal is really, shouldn't be a dead space in your mm-hmm. in your garden. So, you know, a couple weeks before, you know, 3-4 weeks before, we know that the spring plants will be wrapping up their life cycle. Mm-hmm. We actually will make sure that we have starts and seeds planted. Mm-hmm. So that way you have something that's already growing and looking beautiful when we go to take that plant out. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things that I think, you know, experienced gardeners do as best practices, and we're mm-hmm. just trying to bring that to more people.
Mm-hmm. When did you found the company?
Oh, so we founded the company in May, I think,
of 2016.
It's
a baby.
It's still crazy.
We were kind of on the down low, so that was when we technically founded it, but we really don't consider ourselves launched until actually this September, really. So because we wanted to spend some time really getting best practices and making sure that we really had the right soil and mm-hmm. you know yeah. the right. You know, vendors and plants lined up, just so that way we can make sure our clients were experiencing the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what cities are you in?
Well, right now we're in all of Sonoma County and Marin County, and we're doing some early testing in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But we have, you know, we're based out of Hillsburg, and I think, you know, a lot of our initial clients were kind of around the Hillsburg area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have, you know, clients down into, you know, just kind of on the around San Rafael, Novato, and then up, you know, out in the wilderness around Sonoma County, mm-hmm. here and there.
Uh-huh. So. And then how is the pricing structured? What's the cost?
Yeah, absolutely. So it depends a little bit on, you know, kind of how many beds you have. We find that most of our clients really between 2 to 3 beds is kind mm-hmm. of the number that feels right, because you want to have enough that you can give some to your neighbors and mm-hmm. and really enjoy it. But kind of at that, it ends up being about $125 a month per bed.
Oh, okay.
So if you, you know, and like I said, it really kind of, we'll create a nice package for you depending on what you want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, kind of the standard formula that we mm-hmm. use. And what we've done as well is we made it a little different in the sense that there's no upfront cost. So we ask you that you stay a client for 9 months at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that you put down. So if you're installing right. a garden, usually there's a huge upfront cost, and then you slowly, you know,
then you pay for maintenance
afterwards. Yeah, exactly. And so we kind of flipped that on its head and said, hey, why, you know, that doesn't make sense for a lot of people, because you have to have the expertise, but then you have to, like, all of a sudden you're forking over a big check to put a couple $1,000s in to get the garden ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we looked at it and said, if we can make it so that people can stay with us for and experience kind of the year-round gardening,
mm-hmm.
and then we can actually work it into our pricing. That's you just, the bed appears, you know, like magic. It gets planted and all of a sudden, it's just like Netflix for your yard.
Well, yeah, because you say here you sign up for 3 seasons, which is 9 months, or 5 seasons,
mm-hmm.
which is 15 months.
Yeah, and we want to encourage people to really think about this as a long term.
Sure.
And so, but you know, hey, if you're supporting us for 15 months, we'll absolutely give you a discount and mm-hmm. make it more attractive. But yeah, like I said, 9 months I think is kind of like, we think if you're going to do a garden, you should really, that should be in your mind. Like, that's the right you know, minimum kind of commitment to really
sure.
get your money's worth out of it, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing to note also is that the difference, I think, between us and Netflix is that you don't ever get to own those movies with Netflix, right?
Right.
But when, you know, after we're done installing and maintaining and, you know, taking care of that garden for you and, you know, harvesting and helping you harvest all that yummy stuff, at the end of the day, it's your raised bed. You know, we're not going to, you know,
you're not going to come and take it.
We're not going to take it away, right? No. So this is your garden to be loved in the future. So whether or not we continue helping you or 100% taking care of it for you, at the end of the day, it's yours.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. It's really appealing. I see here, 15% discount for long-term subscription. Okay, that makes sense. One of the things I'm always curious about is what sort of challenges when it comes to critters do you have?
Oh, goodness. Well, let's define critter. I mean, you'd think that living in, you know, suburbia, let's say you live in downtown, you know, you're not really going to have deer. But we found, you know, pests such as, you know, your dog, right? So we've definitely had our fill of critters. Because of our reservoir system, it actually eliminates some of the critters that the average gardener may experience.
So it's going to eliminate
gophers
and moles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is a big thing. I think.
Oh, it's a huge thing.
Right. A lot of people out here, that's like that's the number one, you know, pest that right. gets to them.
I have Club Med for gophers at my house.
Exactly. So, and because of our reservoir system, not only does it eliminate, you know, the gophers and the moles, the top inch of the soil dries out, and it actually helps to eliminate a lot of the bad pests that you see crawling around the top of your plants. So, uh-huh. right? So it eliminates the slugs and some of those other creepy crawlers that are bad pests in your garden,
mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, obviously we want to encourage a great ecosystem in the garden, so mm-hmm. you have to have the good with the bad, but it does help keep the plants extra strong and healthy. It gives them a fighting chance when they're these little tiny things.
Sure. Have you had any trouble with raccoons and...
We had one of our clients had a mouse. That was one of our things we had to deal with last season. And then to Amanda's point, we had a couple dogs that really, because we're using this great dirt and compost, mm-hmm. It smells delicious, and dogs would love to roll in it.
How tall? What do you? Because they look in the pictures, it looks like they're
pretty tall. Yeah. So our standard, everything is 2 feet tall.
2 feet
so
tall,
it's
okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit taller, which we find it's just easier to kind of get in and access what you're growing, mm-hmm. as well as you know, if you're bending over to the back, you're not having to like bend over and down at the same time.
Sure.
So it's easy, and then it also, because we do the bottom 6 inches is that reservoir, it, mm-hmm. it gives us, you know, a good 18 inches of dirt on top of that,
uh-huh.
so we can grow root vegetables and all kinds of, we're not limited in any respect.
Right. Yeah. And in that same bed, you can grow things that have shallow roots, say lettuces, as well as something that goes down really deep.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have raised beds at home. I think I have 3 raised beds, but they're not that deep.
Okay.
They would be better if they were.
Well, we think, I, you know, it's, for a long time, the standard thinking was, you know, a raised bed should be maybe 12 inches max.
Right.
And that was, so I think you see a lot of beds that are out there that are a little more shallow, and they, you know, so you don't quite get all the benefits of being off the ground. So it's kind of an in-between.
Yeah.
State.
And plus, you know, gophers with their grappling hooks, they can throw them that high and get into your raised beds.
Yes, they can. Yeah.
Trying to think of, you have three styles. One is called Restoration Modern. Mm-hmm. One is called Urban, and that's like the big metal water trough.
Yeah,
like a water trough.
Yeah, it definitely looks a little more like the farm in your yard.
Yeah, and then you have the rustic, and Restoration Modern are wood. What the question I've been trying to phrase is: are some people putting these into their front yards and working their landscaping around that? Because I mean, edible garden. Everyone talks about edible gardens.
Yeah, well, I think, and just so if for the listeners, you can go to our website, and it's just very simple. It's www.avalow.com, AVALOW.com. And if you look on the product section, we actually have some good pictures, and there's some portfolio pictures of what they look like in our clients' yards. Yeah, and we actually do, especially because in Sonoma County, in a lot of the cities, there are incentives to replace your yard with something that's, you know, drought friendly. And so we've been working with a lot of the cities to, and they're actually, everyone we've met with so far has been 100% on board that putting these beds in your front yard is a suitable replacement. So you can do that. So we've definitely had a couple clients that are like, yep, I'm ready to make the step. I don't need the green front yard. I actually want to make that my space to grow food for my family.
Uh-huh. Nice. So. And I'm wondering, do you have many business clients? Because I think it's a great thing for local businesses to do something like this.
We do. Well, we're just now starting to branch into the business world. We are grateful, actually, to one company in Healdsburg, actually. It's a real estate company office, and they were our first business client, actually, and to put a vegetable garden right adjacent to their property. It's actually the first thing a client of theirs will see as they walk up to their business. So not only is it valuable and wonderful for their employees to experience it, but they also give them the opportunity to their clients to have that same joy when they walk up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many have you done so far? Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question. Yeah, we have just over 25, I think 26 beds in installed right now. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that's mostly since the end of August. Uh-huh. It's kind of when we really publicly launched. So we had a few kind of early clients that were helping us test and different areas and different structures. And since then, we've definitely been installing a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of where we're at. And I think the next big season that we have coming, we're preparing for the spring and then definitely the summer season to follow that. So I think that now that we're officially out there, it's we're definitely getting a lot more calls and interest.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm curious how you ended up doing this. What were you doing when you were in San Francisco?
Oh, something completely different. I was actually a corporate event planner, and I had been an event planner for 10 years. So very different lifestyle. And, you know, for Jeremy, it was also very, very different. But he is fortunate to have a mechanical engineering background, actually, which, you know, I don't think he ever thought would apply to gardening, but it's been brilliant.
Well, it's definitely been fun. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things where, you know, I'd studied engineering and really, really enjoyed myself. And then, of course, immediately moved to, you know, Silicon Valley and started working for tech companies. And, you know, my career was mostly around the video game industry and like supporting like infrastructure for video games, either mobile or online. And it was, yeah, I wasn't really doing a lot with what I'd learned and what kind of really excited me. And so, yeah, to Amanda's point, this was really, really fun to get a chance to really go back to my roots and design something. Like, so our system works on a pressure differentials. And this is, you know, I can go on for a long time.
Please explain that.
Well, so the way that the way that our system works and the way that, so if you look it up, it's sub-irrigation. So the reason that the water goes from below into the plants is really, really interesting. So the plants create, as they grow, they create a low-pressure system, and it pulls the water up. It pulls the water up. So depending on how fast they're growing, they pull more water. So if they're growing really slowly, and it's a plant style that it does grow more slowly and doesn't use a lot of water, it doesn't pull as much water. But something like a tomato plant, when it's right in its peak growing, it takes a lot of water. And the great thing about it is the plant adjusts to the temperatures. So if the plant's growing because it's the perfect temperature, it's pulling a lot of water. If it's too hot and it slows down, well, it just doesn't drink as much. And so it allows us to address the problem of overwatering and underwatering, which is one of the most common issues in gardening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and the great thing is, just by making sure all the pieces are kind of working in an ecosystem, we can just eliminate that from as a problem. It just goes away. And it's one of those amazing things where you take one problem away and all of a sudden different opportunities are opened up.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. No, we found this as, again, we were looking for better ways to grow in our own garden when we moved here. And, you know, our troubles with that led to Avalo, I think. So it was definitely it's not a path I think we thought we'd be on.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, I think it's something, like, Amanda grew up gardening. And
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Forks, Washington. So it's very close to the northwest tip of the United States, actually.
Oh.
And yeah, it's about 20 miles from the Ho Rainforest. So it's a very wet place. And I was raised, you know, with wonderful parents that have always had green thumbs. My mom's has had plants and been gardening as long as I can remember. And my grandmother, also in Squim, Washington, she was always planting something, and she had a beautiful greenhouse. So I was fortunate to be exposed to, you know, super fresh and delicious ingredients because of this.
Nice. That's a nice area, Port Angeles.
Yep.
Near Port Angeles and Port Townsend. And
exactly.
I love that part of the country. I just think it's gorgeous. We're going to take another musical break here, and we'll be right back. Thing I should tell you, in case you didn't know, or in case you haven't been paying very close attention, is that there is a phone app for KRCB. So if you want to listen on your phone, I think you just go to the iTunes store and download the app for free. Do you know, Anthony? Is that right?
Yeah.
KRCB.org. KRCB.org, and you can click through. And I mention this in part because I haven't had landline or internet access for almost a week, and I live in such a place. It would be a challenge for you guys to find the right location for some raised beds in my house. I have a really odd footprint.
Okay.
But there's a little hill immediately south of my house, and so I get zero radio reception because FM waves do not bend. So the FM waves shoot over my house. And I was actually outside once with this huge antenna, you know, the old-fashioned kind of antenna, because the cable station that I had then got rid of all the radio stations I liked. And I was looking, can I climb that tree? And I was out all over my property trying to get some reception, and I don't. And so I listen. The only way I can listen to the radio is by streaming it. I stream KRCB. If I listen to any radio station, it has to come through my computer. And since I can't get online because there's line problems, even though I'm only a mile from town, you'd think I was out in the boonies, I should have the KRCB phone app so that I could at least listen that way. So I've been listening to CDs and vinyl. But anyway, that's one of the things that you can do to listen to KRCB, and you can listen anywhere in the world, which is just what a small world we've become. KRCB.org is where you go to find out about the phone app. It's also where you can go just to make a donation. $25 gets you a copy of The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes or More Than Meatballs. They both have a sticker price, I think, of $19.99 or and then tax. So it's a really good deal. And there's all kinds of CDs. For $30, you can get Rest in Peace, 5 CDs by some musicians. We have lost some of them recently. There's a Sonoma 6-pack, $20. And you get 6 really great CDs. You get Smokehouse, The Smokehouse Gamblers, The Ruminators, Connections, Greenhouse. You get Solid Air, one of my favorite local bands, and Kyle Martin. Here's another one. Let's see, what is this one? It is Country Legends, 5 CDs for $30. You get the best of bluegrass, Hank Williams, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and one more if we can see it. Wanda Jackson. Wanda Jackson is a... Do you know Wanda Jackson?
I don't. Yeah.
She used to play with Elvis. I think she might have dated Elvis for a while. And she is in her 70s or 80s. And she is still going strong, singing her brand of country rock and roll. She is just amazing. Okay, here's another stack. Let's see what it is. Ladies. Ladies and a couple of gents. There are 5 CDs again. Oh, Edith Piaf, Ravi Shankar. That's a guy. Paolo Conte. Anyway, and then we have another Sonoma 6-pack. So... give us a call, 707-584-2020, or go online, and in the section, there's a place for notes. You can just say what it is you want. $20 gets you the Holidays Connection album, and that's the music we've been playing tonight. Why Healdsburg? What brought you up here?
Oh, well, I think... mostly, we just really liked it.
It's so beautiful.
Okay. So, did you have friends, family?
No.
No, you just liked it up here, okay.
No, we ended up, and we were working with just, you know, kind of as we wandered through life, we ended up having the chance to help out some people. They were looking to rent a house, and so we helped them kind of get it ready to put it on the market. And so we ended up spending more and more time in Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And as we spent more and more time in Healdsburg, you know, in Sonoma County, we just loved it more and more. And so... that led to us living here, which then led to us being gardeners, which then, yeah, it's a funny road, but mm-hmm. but yeah.
Sonoma County is just magical. I don't know. We've both done a lot of traveling all over the place, all over the world, and I just we feel that there's just something really special here, and Healdsburg in particular, I think, just really just moved us. You know, it's this beautiful place that, you know, it has natural beauty and it has a taste of tourism, but it also has these locals who've been there for generations mm-hmm. and generations, which is, you know, really, really refreshing. And there's a sense of community. It's just a big city and a small town, because you get to have the best of everything in a small town. Great restaurants, great food, great people. I don't know, just, I love it.
Well, and we both grew up in small towns, so you
now
know this.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up very near to Dodge City, Kansas, a small town called Jetmore. Which I think it took, after Google Maps came out in, I think, 2005, and I think it took us 5 years to really get on the map, like where they had enough resolution to show how small our town was. So, yeah, very, very much Midwest. Mm-hmm.
And it shows because he still opens the door for me, so thank you, Midwest.
Hey, you know, manners are a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think manners will, you know, never grow old. At least I hope they don't. So you continue those Midwest manners. Please teach some of the people here. Yeah, that's another whole topic. People who get upset because somebody opens the door for them, I just don't get that.
I am guilty of being that person.
Explain to me for
quite a while. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know what it was, but it made me uncomfortable actually to have somebody open a door for me. And I was very much that stubborn person who was like, no, I can do it myself. And now, you know, I'm in my early 30s. And I think maybe because I'm more comfortable with myself as a person, I actually really appreciate it now. I understand it's a sign of respect, and it's not someone trying to say that I'm not able to do it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. There's the patronizing element of it. Yeah. But, you know, I open doors for people. I mean, to me, it's like what's convenient and then what's polite. I don't want to slam a door in somebody's face by just letting it go. And I don't like it when someone does that to me.
Yeah, it's thinking of the other people around you. I think really, as long as you're doing it with the best intentions, it's...
Right, exactly.
It's hard to complain with that, you know?
Yeah. And I actually read etiquette books. Sometimes just in my spare time, I'll read an etiquette book because I've got Amy Vanderbilt, and then there's the other one, and I'm not thinking of that person's name right now. But it's really interesting. And the reason for it is really, I think, really interesting. And it's to make people in the commons comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you don't put the fork in this place because that's the right thing. It's just that, okay, by common agreement, we have these things set up, and we do that so people know how to behave and they don't have to wonder.
Right. No one has that awkward moment of like, wait, am I using forks or rocks?
Yeah. And should I sit? Yeah. And, you know, who pulls out the, you know, I'll get the door. So it's all arranged. To make people comfortable. And I just find all of the little tiny idiosyncrasies that surround that fascinating, and the way that it evolves. And, you know, sometimes one of the writers may tell a story about when she was working in the White House or something, and something came up. So I'm all for etiquette and manners. And, the commons is an interesting place.
It is. And I think that's, people are paying more attention to the commons. Again, I think for a long time it was personal space, and now it's more like, hey, how do we take care of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet, coming from the Midwest, I bet you had some adjustment coming to California. Because California can be obsessive about personal space.
Yes. It's definitely something I think that, there's definitely more focus on the individual. You know, you look at the world through your lens and your lens only, and you don't necessarily, and I'm stereotyping, which is terrible.
No, that's okay.
But
I started it.
It's fair. But in general, I think it is that where, you know, like if, when you're brought up in even, but I think it's also almost small town versus big city.
Sure, sure.
Because in a small town, you have to take care of everyone else because you're all you got.
Yeah.
And in a big city, you know, you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't, you'll get taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's that mindset is very different. And so coming in from one to the other, I think, is always difficult, because, you hear the opposite, though. You hear people from big cities who go to a small town, and they're like, everyone's showing up on my doorstep. I don't know these people. Who the heck is showing up with a plate of cookies? That's freaky. And you're like, well, it's nice. But I could see that if someone showed up on your doorstep in San Francisco with a plate of cookies, don't eat those cookies.
Nobody's ever showed up on my doorstep in any of the towns I've lived in Sonoma County. And I've lived here most of my life.
So we're a blend here in Sonoma County now.
We're a blend. Yeah. And I think, well, a lot of the situation, I think, with California has to do with our size. We're huge.
Yeah.
And we rely on cars. So in New York, New York City is huge, but you are smack up against people all the time. You have to deal with people. And I think that whole idea of personal space that has developed in California has a lot to do with that expectation that you stretch out your arms and that's your car. You're not used to people coming any closer, really, than your car. Depending on where you live, of course. You can get by in San Francisco without a car, but it's not as easy, say, as getting by in New York City without. I wouldn't have a car if I lived in New York City.
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's no reason for it. You know,
yeah, but it can take you a really long time to get across town, San Francisco, in public transportation.
Yeah.
But then in cars, too. So let's hear one more song off the Holiday Connection CD, and then we'll come back and say goodbye.
Hey, Doug Jane here, and I want to talk about some of the great thank you gifts that we're giving out for the $40 level premium CDs. One CD for $40, two CDs for $60, or three CDs for $80 pledges to KRSUB during our Holiday Connection fundraiser. First one I want to talk about is the new album by Bruce Springsteen. It's called Chapter and Verse, and it is the companion to his new book, a terrific autobiography called Born to Run. Chapter and Verse has unreleased tracks, old songs from his very early groups, the Castiles and Steel Mill, and is a must-own for any Bruce fan. Can be yours at the $40 level.
She went back to Wichita. She went back to her mom. fixed my truck, pumping gas with car packed up.
Hey, who doesn't like Gillian Welch? Arguably her greatest record was called Revival. It was her debut album. Came out 20 years ago. There's a new CD. It's a two CD set. It's called Boots Number 1 Official Revival Bootleg. 21 songs, demos, outtakes, and alternate mixes from the tremendous period where she created her fine album Revival. New Gillian Welch can be yours for a $40 pledge at 584-2020. Well, remember back in 1966 when Bob Dylan went on his electric tour with the members of the band? For years, there was a very famous recording going around called the Albert Hall Concert, 1966. It turns out that they mislabeled the tapes. And what was known as the Royal Albert Hall Concert from 1966 was actually recorded in Manchester. So they have corrected the mistake, and they have put out for the first time in 50 years... Bob Dylan, The Real Albert Hall Concert, 1966. For the very first time. It sounds great. It's back when he played with Robbie Robertson, Rick Danko, Richard Manuel, and Garth Hudson. Levon Helm was in the band for a period of time, but he had to leave because it upset him so much that the crowds were booing him. Bob Dylan, The Real Royal Albert Hall Concert, 1966, can be yours for a $40 pledge.
Our very own Doug Jane. Gotta love him. He knows so much about music. He has such fabulous musical taste. Take his advice. $40 for that fabulous Bob Dylan CD. And we are out of time. So Jeremy and Amanda of Avalo. It's Avalo, AVALOW.com. And let's give the phone number. It's 844-4-AVALO. And, you know, it's like you got to look at your phone to remember those numbers. I can never do it off the top of my head. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time to come down. Have a great holiday season and a great spring.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
You bet. And maybe one of these days I'll give you a call and say, okay, I'm ready. Let's have a box at
my
house. Hey,
we're happy to answer anyone's questions if they just want advice on gardening.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Cool. Okay, again, that is avalo.com, and then all your contact information is there, right?
Yep, and we have a blog that talks about gardening tips all the time and different recipes, ways to make it really interesting. So, yeah,
okay.
definitely check it out.
Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB Radio 91. Have a great week.